الكواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم. صلوات. The subject of my speech tonight is on the concept of bala and musibat and tests which arrive in the life of every human being, because as a matter of fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in the Holy Quran: وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Certainly, we are going to test you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. Certainly, we are going to test them with fear, وَالْجُوعِ, hunger, and the lack of fruit, the lack of fruits, shortage in the fruits, and shortage in the money, and the lives. And Allah is commanding the Holy Prophet by saying, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and give the glad tidings in Basharat, the good news, to those who exercise sabr and patience in their lives. بشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة, those whom when the musibat arrives upon them, قالوا إنا لله, they say certainly we belong to Allah, وإنا إليه, and certainly towards him, راجعون, we are turning back. So we understand in the light of this verse of Holy Quran that all of us will be tested, and no one can expect that I will never face a test whatsoever. I will never face any test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's simply not going to happen, and this kind of dua is simply obviously contradicting the Holy Quran and the nas of Quran, and no dua can ever be accepted by Allah if it's against the pre-told teachings of the Sharia. So there is no room for a person to say and to seek dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Lord, my Lord, never sent any test and bala upon me." This would be a very silly statement, because this would reveal the guy has no information about the obviously informed teaching in the Holy Quran. Whereas the seerat of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam was, they used to do istiqbal of the masaib. They used to welcome the masaib and turmoils and problems and crises and tests. When somebody came to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam and asked, that hal yubtala al mu'min, is a mu'min tested? Is a mu'min subjected to bala and test? Bala in Arabic, bala imtihan, iftinan, fitna, it means, stands for test. So is a mu'min tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam replied, hal yubtala ghayrul mu'min? Is a non-mu'min tested? That means it's always a mu'min who is tested. A non-mu'min is never tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't need to test a non-mu'min person. And we find in the hadith saying that al-bala'u lil-kafir azabun walil-mu'min imtihanun walil-anbiya'i daraja. A bala and test is an azab and punishment of Allah whenever it comes over a kafir. And the bala is a test when it comes on a mu'min. And the bala is a means of raf'ud darajat, means of elevation of levels when it arrives on the anbiya and prophets of God. So nobody, first of all, is exempt from the test. This is a very silly dua if somebody starts seeking from Allah, don't test me, because that's against Quran. Allah will never be able to violate His own law and His own revelation. And second of all, the bala is always for a mu'min as a matter of fact. For a kafir, it's always a rab, because there is no room, there is no need for a kafir to be tested. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, the ayat which I recited in the beginning of my speech, that وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Whatever musibat befalls on you is because bima kasabat aydikum. In other words, this is because of what your own hands have earned, because of your own actions, because of what you have done yourself. So we are the illat and reason behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing this kind of behavior towards us. Well, you may ask, well, Allah is going to test us anyway, because we are mu'min, so we will be tested. Yes, we will be tested, but the nature of the test depends on our behavior towards Allah. Some people in this world are tested because the bala arrives on their iman and faith and values and principles that the Quran and Ahlul Bayt have blessed us and informed us with, those great divine values. Whereas some people are tested when the bala arrives on their money, on their sihat, their health, on their material belongings and material blessings that we enjoy in the life of this dunya. And this is where our personal role plays a role. Our personal behavior plays a role. How have we acted upon the teachings of the Sharia? How much did we obey or how much did we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? So some people have been receiving bala and test arriving on their iman, which may cause them losing their iman and values. Whereas some people have bala arriving on their material belongings of this dunya. And this is what the Ahlul Bayt used to ask from Allah. Allahumma la taj'al musibatana fi deenina. That's what we learn from the light of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. That, O my Lord, don't make the musibat upon us to be on our religion and deen. That means musibat is going to arrive anyway. You cannot avoid, it's unavoidable. But don't make that arriving musibat to be addressed on my iman and faith. Instead, let the musibat be addressing the material belongings of this life, dunya. Don't let the musibat be on my deen and religion. This is what we should also ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The behavior of the human beings, as we are talking about the concept of bala and test in Islam, the behavior of human beings is very disappointing behavior towards Allah, because the human beings, whenever they find material blessings coming in their way, they become happy. And when they find the material blessings taken away from them, they tend to be unhappy. As if Allah's blessings are only restricted to material blessings. And this is a very ungrateful, behavior. It's a behavior that reveals that we lack the ma'rifat and that recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His values. If we had the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of His teachings, we would be thankful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, and especially more thankful if we are continuously receiving the ma'navi metaphysical blessings of Allah. Whether we lose our financial blessings in this material world or whether we gain the material blessings. This is besides the point. But وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ إِذَا هُمْ يَقْنَطُونَ Quran says, when they find an evil falling on them because of what they have done themselves, their own actions, we find that they are in despair. People become hopeless, people show hopelessness, people become disappointed, they show their disappointment before Allah, because whenever an evil strikes them in their life, whenever a musibat comes upon them in their life, and that also was because of their own sins, their own bad deeds, they show their disappointment towards Allah. People are pleased as long as they have the material blessings. And Allah has been condemning. You know, once a person came to Imam Baqir alayhi salam, and he was, Imam asked him about his people. You know, it's a long hadith which I'm paraphrasing in my own words, the gist of the whole thing. So Imam asked him about the situation of Shias in his community. And this guy started explaining to Imam. He said, you know, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, the people in my community, whenever they receive blessings of Allah, they thank Him. Whenever they don't receive the blessings of Allah, they just do sabr and patience. Imam Baqir al-Salam replied, this is what the dogs in Medina also do. When they receive the blessings of Allah, they thank Him. And when they don't, they do sabr, patience. Is that? So, this actually is such a nice statement of Imam Baqir al-Salam that is an eye-opener for us. A mu'min is a person who thanks Allah in all times. This is the sign of a mu'min, that we thank Allah in all the situations. Not just if we could not receive a blessing, material blessing from Allah, we stop our thanking and shukr and we start behaving like a person who has no other option. This is not the sign of a mu'min. So Allah says, وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ Surah Al-Fajr, وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَكُودُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. When Allah tested him and straightened his sustenance upon him, he says, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. He says that my Lord has insulted me. My Lord has disgraced me. As soon as our sustenance decreases, we start complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the behavior of the materialistic people who do like this. A mu'min never does like this. Mu'min is always thankful towards Allah in all situations. And then Allah says that you guys, بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ You do not honor the orphan. وَلَا تَحَابُّونَ عَلَىٰ تَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ And you do not urge other people on feeding the orphans, on feeding the miskeen and destitute. This is what Allah likes to see from us. If we have been urging the other people to serve and to help the destitute poor people, and we have been supporting the orphans, then we would find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing more of the ma'navi blessings for us. Then even the material blessings are increased, because we increase the material blessings by giving. People think as the more we pile up, the more money we pile up with him, this is our security and guarantee for us and our later generations, because we have lots of money sitting to help and support our children, our community, our family. But in Islam, the concept is opposite, exactly the opposite, because the narration informs us that لَمْ يَبْقَ عِنْدَهُ دِرْهَمٌ وَلَا دِينَارٌ There wasn't a single dirham or a single dinar ever remaining in the hands of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. It's not haram in Islam to save money. That's not what we are talking about. It's the point is that how much we are taking care of our obligations towards the poor people. That's the whole point. Because Prophet has already set the highest of the role models. So, وَإِن فَضُلَ لَمْ يَأْوِ إِلَى مَنْزِلِهِ. And if there was a dirham or dinar remaining in the hands, in the property, in the hands of the Holy Prophet, لَمْ يَأْوِ, he never used to resort, he never used to take refuge, he never used to come back to his house, unless he spends the money on the poor, deserving person first, and then he used to come to his house empty-handed. We are talking about the Prophet a little bit every now and then. We have been praising, we have been sending salawat and salam. Allah has commanded us to send our salawat and salam. We mention the name of the Holy Prophet every now and then, including in the prayers, the greatest personalities. We do not believe in the Holy Prophet in Ahlul Bayt because we are born to Shia parents. There is no unfair favoritism in Islam. Everything is well calculated, well defined, supported by concrete, narrated or intellectual evidences. Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam have earned the highness because of their great actions. That's why they deserve to be mentioned. That's why they deserve that we, every now and then we keep on sending salawat on them, although they do not stand in need of any salawat from us. Our salawat is actually a means of forgiveness of our own sins. They don't stand in need of our salawat, they are already successful. They are greatest personalities. They don't stand in need of us. Why they are greatest? Because they have performed, they have delivered, they did something which earns them the highest level of divine light and nuraniyat in their qalb and soul with their actions. So they have set the highest role model for us. So what I was saying to you brothers is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He never takes away any blessing from anybody. Let me repeat my sentence before I move forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never takes away any blessing that He blesses with upon someone. He never takes away any blessing from anybody. Unless that person himself becomes deserving that the blessing should be snatched away from him. And then the absolute wisdom of God decrees that the blessing should be taken away. Because Allah is not an emotional being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all knowledgeable and all wise. Everything that He does is based on absolute wisdom. So He never takes away any blessing. And we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kareem and sakhi. Isn't that right? And His karamat and sakha. And sakhawat is aynul dhat. Is nothing but His essence. So we were born, we had no sifat and attribute, we were just like a blank slate. Later on we gained different sifat and attributes and knowledges and things and, you know, and we learned later on. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that His sifat and attributes are aim of that. There wasn't a time passing by that Allah was there but His karamat was not there. Allah was there but His sakhawat was not there. Allah was there but His rahmat and mercy was not there. And so on and so forth. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kareem. And Allah is not bakhil. It's not that Allah is giving one blessing to me, but He is not ready to give that blessing to some other person. Or He is ready to give this blessing to the other person, but not ready to give it to me. No, He is not a miser. Bukhl is a sifatun qabiha. It's a condemned attribute. And we say subhanallah. That means we glorify Allah from all the condemned attributes. So when we say we glorify Allah from all the condemned attributes and all what the people ascribe among the sifat and attributes of creatures that people related to Allah, we glorify Him to be above and beyond all those condemned attributes. So Allah is never unjust in His practice and His policies. If I did not receive a blessing from Allah, it's not because Allah is a miser. He is not ready to give that blessing to me, but He was ready to give that blessing to someone else. If I did not receive a blessing, it's because I did not deserve it. Always think about your own self. You have to earn to get the blessing, to become deserving of that blessing. That's the way it always goes. Some of the blessings are widely found, some of the blessings are found to a medium level, some of the blessings are scarcely found in the community, like yaqeen and ma'rifat are very less found. If somebody asks you the question, which is the least found blessing of Allah in the whole universe? The least found blessing of God in the whole universe is yaqeen and certitude. Again, not because Allah is a miser, He's not ready to give yaqeen and certitude to me, but He gave the same blessing of the nur of yaqeen was awarded to some other urafa and great personalities of ours. No, He's not a miser, because I don't deserve it, because the least number of people deserve to get that blessing. We need to make ourselves deserving first and mustahak first, and we will find the blessing coming in our way. Allah is never a miser. So, what I was talking about is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a matter of the principle, never takes away any blessing from anybody. And Allah has mentioned the parable of this situation in the Holy Quran. Any township, a city, a qariya, a population, concentration, in other words, receives the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as soon as a population starts doing kufran and ni'mat, starts doing kufr towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ أَذَاقَهَ اللَّهُ لِبَاثَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ. Then Allah makes them taste the hunger and fear. So Allah always responds to our bad actions, because this is the justice of Allah to respond likewise. He cannot treat the good doers and the bad doers in one same format, because that's against the adl and justice. So whenever we find a blessing is taken away, it's because of our own bad deeds. We need to look at our own selves. Sometimes people may fail to understand and realize. That's a different story, because we don't have the ma'rifat, we don't do muhasabatun nafs, holding our own selves accountable, which is the sign of a mu'min, that a mu'min never sleeps unless he holds himself accountable on daily basis, because the hadith of Imam Ridha alayhi salam says that laysa minna man lam yuhasib nafsahu fi kulli yawm. Someone who does not hold himself accountable on daily basis is not amongst us. And our scholars say, when Imam Ridha alayhi salam is saying that he is not amongst us, it means that he is not categorized as a follower, as a Shia. So a Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen, a Shia of Ahlul Bayt, is the person who always holds himself accountable. That's how we improve. Unless you realize the wrong, unless you accept the nuqs and shortfall, you will never improve. Because the step number one for your spiritual improvement is accepting the shortcoming that you have. So how can you accept the shortfall? If you do not do the muhasabah, there is no check and balance going on, spiritually checking your own selves daily. So if you do the muhasabah, we will get to know what is the shortfall, shortcoming in my spirituality, and I will not sleep, I will not go to bed unless I do tawbah first. Because tawbah in Islam is wajib-e-fawri, is an immediate wajib in Islam. So anybody who does a sin and goes to bed without doing tawbah, actually he has done two sins. Not one. First is the sin itself, and the second is delaying the tawbah. What in Arabic we call tasweeful istighfar. You know, sawfa astaghfir. Hey, I'm going to do tawbah later on. A whole bunch of other people who are doing that as well. So what if I didn't do that? You are not alone. These kinds of deceptions with shaitan deceives the humans to fell into the trap of shaitan by these kinds of deceptions coming in our minds. And we delay the tawbah. And delaying the tawbah itself is another sin. So anybody who performs a sin and didn't do the tawbah straight away actually did two sins. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt for informing us with these glorious teachings. This is the beauty of Islam. I always say in my speeches, the beauty of Islam is that Islam is a religion which is soul-centered, soul-oriented, soul-focused. So everything we think in the spiritual way, we think from the spiritual perspective first, before looking at death ruling from any other perspective. And I always say to those people, you know, some people say, well, pork is haram because there is such and such bacteria found in that meat. And I say to those brothers, please don't judge the rulings of the unseeable world of ghaib, which the Prophet received and informed us. Please do not interpret the rulings of the unseeable world from the medical or physical perspective or the material perspective only. What if tomorrow after, let's suppose after 30 years from now, the scientists say that we have discovered the cure for that virus? Are you going to say that now onwards the eating pork is halal in Islam? Because that bacteria is no longer remaining? No! That's not the reason. The first and the most important thing that we should think about is the spiritual aspect of the divine rulings. No matter where we reach academically, even if you grab 10 degrees from any university, you go to Harvard or you go to Sorbonne or Oxford or Cambridge or Berkeley, but you will continue to stand in need of the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt till the end of your life, because no academic institution on the planet can ever tell you anything about your soul. And a human being is a component of a soul and a body. So we stand in need of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, even though if I have 10 doctorate degrees, I am still jahil and ignorant when it comes to soul. Because no human being would ever tell me anything about the soul. I have to turn to the Prophets and the Imams. Otherwise there is no use for Allah. Everybody has aql. Allah gave us aql. Allah, we were born with aql and intellect. Isn't that right? There was no use for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send down all the Prophets and the Imams, because everybody has intellect and we can understand and comprehend and think and find our way and lead our life. No one can realize any of the teachings without having access to the Prophets and the Imams. So, what I was saying, brothers and sisters, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never takes away any blessing that He has given to anybody unless that person himself or herself deserves this behavior by our kufr, by our denial, by our bad behaviors, by our sins. And Allah has given some of the material blessings to non-Muslims more than the Muslims. So giving of the material blessing, giving away of the material blessings, abundance of the material blessings is not a sign that Allah loves you. And not giving of the material blessings is not a sign that Allah hates you either. Because like I said, lots of non-Muslims have much more, lots of kuffar and munafiqeen have much more of the material blessings. And this is the dua of the Holy Prophet. This is already accepted. That's narrated by Shaykh Tusi, the founder of the Hawza of Najaf, rahmatullahi alayhi, one of our very great scholars in Maraji. And, you know, when the other sects of Islam burnt his books, and Shaykh Tusi, despite the fact he was a marji, he came and he started to teach the students from scratch. And then he built the Hawza of Najaf, and he was living right next door. In those days, the city of Najaf was just a really tiny, small area. And his room was right next to the Haram of Imam Ali. Haram of Imam Ali was also just one room in those days. One small hall. And his house, his room was right next to the room, next to the hall where Imam Ali was buried. And he stayed there for a long time. And he started to compile books, he started to write books from scratch because his library was burnt by some prejudiced other sects of Islam. And he started to rewrite the books, he started to teach the students from the beginning so that he can take them to the level of Darsa Kharij, which is the highest level of learning in the Hawza, and make them mujtahid and continue this amanat of Ahlul Bayt to transfer it to our later generations. And he did not visit even, these scholars had a lot of haq on our neck. He was living next door to Imam Ali's shrine, which was just a room in those days, but he didn't visit the shrine of Imam Ali. And one of the students came to Sheikh Tusi and said, "Their teacher, you are living right next door, but you don't go for the riyadat." He said, "What I am doing here, Imam Ali knows that this is more important than going and doing the ziyarat of Imam Ali al-Islam." So these scholars have a lot of haq on our neck. They protected Islam. And so we find what I was telling you is that Sheikh Tusi, who has this one mother book of hadith, we have four mother books of hadith, and Kitab al-Tahdhib. In Kitab al-Tahdhib, Sheikh Tusi has narrated this authentic hadith, sahiha, narration from Rasulullah, that Prophet has said in his dua, "Allahumma rzuq Muhammadan wa ala Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa man ahabba Muhammadan wa ala Muhammadin al-ifafa wal-kafaf." Oh my Lord, this is the dua of the seal of the messengers. It's a sahiha hadith. And dua of the Prophet is already mustajab and accepted. Isn't that right? So this is a done deal. It's already accepted by Allah. So Prophet prayed that, "Oh my Lord, give Muhammad and Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all those and everyone who loves Muhammad and Ali Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam al-ifafa wal-kafaf." Ifaf means chastity. Iffat taqdami, chastity. Wal-kafaf, baqadre zarurat maal. Kafaf in Arabic means baqadre zarurat maal. As much finances as it suffices your needs. Al-kafaf. Warzuq man abghada Muhammadan wa ala Muhammadin kathrat al-mal wal-walad. And give those who hold Muhammad and Ali Muhammad as their enemies, those who have enmity towards Muhammad and Ali Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, give them the abundance of money and children. So this is the dua of the seed of the messengers, Khatamul Mursaleen, which is already accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will continue to have more numbers than us till the day of judgment. And they will continue to have more money than us, because it's a dua of the very Prophet. So we should rely on our fariza, do our fariza and have tawakkul on Allah and do our responsibility towards what Allah has said. That's how we are supposed to move forward. That's how we can succeed. Not because of abundance of material blessings. We will succeed because of abundance of ma'naviyat and iman and values that the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt stood for. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given abundance of material blessings to the kuffar and munafiqeen, all those who are on the other side of the line. And we find that even those of the people who are supporters of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, like Hazrat Khadija, who had lots of money, their personal lives are very simplistic. Hazrat Khadija had a very, you know, simple life in her personal behaviors and personal lifestyle, because all the money she earned was for the sake of Islam. Nothing changed in her lifestyle because of making money. Making money is not haram either in Islam. You can make billions of dollars from halal. You can never find in the entire Holy Quran or any hadith from the Holy Prophet in Ahlul Bayt and any single statement where they have said, "Don't make money." Yeah. There is no restriction in Islam on making money from halal. Every restriction in Islam is on spending the money. That's where our test arrives. So what I was talking about is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't take away any blessing from anybody unless that person becomes mustahab, that the blessing should be taken away from that. And Allah has several policies towards the people. First policy is towards the prophets. Whenever there is a slight mistake, not a sin, prophets do not do any sins. They are infallible. Imams never do sins. So our Holy Prophet and our Imams never even do tarkul awla. Think something which was better to be avoided, but if somebody does not avoid it, it's called tarkul awla. Some of the other prophets performed tarkul awla, but our Prophet and our 12 Imams, they never did tarkul awla in their lives. Tarkul awla means something which is better to be avoided. So whenever a prophet performs tarkul awla, Allah whenever a beloved servant of Allah performs a mistake, it's not a sin. Tarkulala is not a sin, but it's a mistake. It should better be avoided. Allah always responds immediately. Hazrat Yusuf was in the prison, and one of his jail inmates, fellow jail inmates, was freed by the Aziz of Misr, by the king of Egypt, and Hazrat Yusuf said to him, and Quran is informing us, Uzkurni inda Rabbika. That means, in other words, as you go and see the king of Egypt, remember me when you go and see the king, remember me. That means do intercession and favor so that the king can also free me from the jail. This is not a sin. Prophet Yusuf is a masoom and infallible. It's not a sin, but it is a tarki'ula. And Allah dislikes. So Allah sent Jibreel straight away inside the prison on Prophet Yusuf. And Jibreel struck his wing over the floor of the prison, and all the seven layers of the earth ripped apart, ripped open, and there was a stone at the bottom, at the core, at the inside core of earth. And then Jibreel struck his wing on that inside stone, deep down into the earth. Struck his wing again on that stone. And there the stone popped up, and there was an insect inside that stone. And the habitat of that insect, that it used to live in a stone in the core of earth. Now when the Jibreel opened up that stone in the core of earth by striking his wing, then he asked Hazrat Yusuf, Man razakuha, who is the one who provides sustenance to this insect? And Hazrat Yusuf replied, Allah. And then Jibreel said, so the same Allah who is providing risk to that insect, do you think that Allah is going to forget you? That you ask your fellow jail inmate to for intercession and shafa'at to go and talk about you in front of the king so that the king can set you free from the jail? Do you think Allah has forgotten you? So whenever the prophets do some talkul awla, they are straight away, Allah shows his reaction. And Allah dislikes. So this is first behavior. And the second behavior is for the rest of the people. Baqiyatun nas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, never makes haste in punishing the people. You know, جَعَلْنَا لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ Quran says, جَعَلْنَا لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ مَوْعِدًا We have fixed a time, a promised time for their destruction. So unless the promised time arrives, people are not destroyed. That's what we think. I mean, people think they always make haste. When there is somebody who has enmity towards me, we would like to take revenge ASAP. Isn't that right? We try to take our revenge from our enemies as soon as we can. But Allah is never like this. يَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ They are seeking, they are making haste in the palace. The Kufar used to say that to the Holy Prophet. If we are kafir people, and we are bad people, and we are condemned people, then why don't you ask your God to send down his azab and punishment upon us if we are that bad? Why is not Allah sending azab on us? يَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ They are making haste in the azab and punishment of Allah. وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ Allah is never going to breach his promise. Allah always goes according to his absolute wisdom. Let the jahil people say whatever they are saying. Who cares? You know, we make haste in punishing our opponents because, first of all, A, we think that we may lose our qudrat and power. Isn't that right? Right now I have the power. I can take revenge. Tomorrow maybe I lose power. That's the reason why we make haste in punishing our opponents. Second of all, we think our opponents can run away. We can no longer have access to our opponents. Isn't that right? None of those two apply in the case of Allah because his power is absolute. Nothing is going to be lost from his power. Second of all, you know, no one can escape from Allah's realm. Look at what Imam Ali has said in Dua Kumail, لا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. Teri hukumat se farar mumkin hi nahi hai. It's impossible to run away and escape from your government. So Allah never makes haste in punishment. But there are some people who are who have the sign of hope and islah remaining. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has another policy in their favor. If they have a sign of hope remaining, so what Allah does, Allah لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا, Allah makes them taste some of the aftermath of their own actions. Some of the very good people, you find their death comes with a lot of pain. They were very pious people. But their death, in sakaratul maut, in the final moments of their life, they feel a lot of pain. Because Allah wants them to get rid of all the sins in this world, so that when they step into barzakh, they are clear. Some of the people face illnesses, problems in this life. Is that right? And if they are mu'min and pious people, nice people, their problems are all because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, possibly Allah wants them to get rid of all those few sins that they have on their side. You know, if one mu'min is suffering with illness and he could not sleep for one night because of his pain, 1 year of his sins are forgiven. 1 year of your sins are forgiven if you could not sleep because of pain that you have in your illness. These are all mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides, makes us taste the aftermath of our bad deeds in this world if there is a sign of hope. If we are mu'mins, there is a sign of hope for us. But for the kuffar, the policy of Allah is totally different. Allah gives them more chance. Allah gives them more chance. Look at the ayat that Hazrat Zainab recited in front of Yazid ibn Muawiyah la'anatullahi alayhima. What Hazrat Zainab said, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفُرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. Those who did kufr should never think that now that Allah has given them a chance, in other words, this is something which is good for them in their favor. No. We are giving them chance, they yazdadu ithman, so that they get increased in their sins. That's the reason why the kuffar are given chances. So they end up getting involved and becoming more ghafil and more ignorant about akhirat, and get involved in more and more sins because they ask for it, because Allah is not unfair, because they did not heed to the previous warnings of Allah. They never heeded to any of the previous warnings, so Allah gives them more chance to get further involved in the love of this dunya. And they get more and more ghafil and ignorant about their responsibility towards Allah, until the death time grabs them and they die and they are gone. So this is also a punishment for some. Whereas we find that the Holy Prophet has prayed in his dua to Allah, Allahumma la takilni ila nafsi tarfata aynin abada. And some of the scholars have narrated it like that Allahumma la takilna ila anfusina tarfata aynin abada. Oh my Lord, don't surrender ourselves to our own selves for even the blinking of an eye, for that short of a moment, of a duration. That means keep the charge of the affairs of my life in your own control. Don't deliver the charge of the affairs of my life in my control. So, this is the dua that we should recite. This is a sign of a mu'min person who has trust in Allah, that he never tends to take the charge of the control of his own life in his own hands. Look at what Imam Hussain did in Karbala. And look at the shi'r, the poetry that he recited, the piece of poetry which he recited there, that إِلَهِ تَرَكْتُ الْخَلْقَ طُرًّا فِي هَوَاكَ. O my Lord, I left the creatures, for the sake of your love. إِلَهِ تَرَكْتُ الْخَلْقَ طُرًّا فِي هَوَاكَ. I have left everything for the sake of your love. وَأَيْتَمْتُ الْعِيَالَ لِكَيْ أَرَاكَ. And I have made my children orphans so that I can see you. وَلَوْ قَتَّعْتَنِي فِي الْحُبِّ إِرْبًا. Even though you cut me into pieces in your love, مَا حَنَّ الْفُعَادُ إِلَى سَوَاكَ. My heart will still not be inclined towards anyone other than you. That's the greatest example that Imam Hussain alayhi salam has set for us. And finally, when he came to to seek, you know, to do the wida and farewell towards Hazrat Zainab and other Ahl al-Haram. We, you know, Hazrat Zainab, some of the scholars have narrated, she started to do the wasiyat of Hazrat Zahra, salamullah alayha, started to kiss the neck of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And Imam Hussain also kissed the hands of Hazrat Zainab. These are the hands where the rope will be tied. And finally, when Imam Hussain alayhi salam left, and we find when Imam Hussain left, he said that, come and see the fight of the person who is hungry. Come and see the fight of the person who is thirsty. And when Imam Hussain was going, he found that somebody is behind following him. So actually he turned back and saw it's his daughter Hazrat Sakina still following him. Imam get off the horse and came to Sakina. And Sakina said, Baba, make me sit over your thigh and rub your hand over my head the way you did towards the daughter of Hazrat Muslim. Because I know whoever has gone towards the Maktal never comes back. I know you are not going to come back. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, in the final moments, when we find, in the final moments, when Imam Hussain, his body was over the arrows, he looked towards the Khiyam, because he did not tolerate the Ashqiyah attacking the Khiyam of Ahlul Bayt. So he addressed, you know, Ya Shi'ata Halu Abi Sufyan, in Lam Yakun Lakum Deen, وَكُنْتُمْ لَا تَخَافُونَ الْمَعَادِ فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. Because Imam Hussain fell down several times because he was so weak. He could not stand over his feet in the final moments. He fell down several times over his face. But he was looking towards the Khiyam, that the Ashqiyah do not attack the ladies in the final moments. And when he discovers that this is the time of Asr prayers finally, بسم الله رب الله وفي سبيل الله وعلى ملة رسول الله. Imam Hussain put his head on the ground of Karbala. Hazrat Zainab was watching that situation when Shimr Jalisun ala Sadrihi. Shimr was sitting over the chest of Imam Hussain and holding the beard of Imam Hussain and slaughtering from behind his back. And she addressed Umar ibn Sa'd, Ayuqtal Abu Abd Allah, wa anta tanzuru ilayh. You know, Imam Hussain, Abu Abdullah is being killed where you are watching him.
Ala laknatullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayya'lamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un ilahi bihaq الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن نصراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.